everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bay LA Podcast, your home for everything Warriors, Lakers, and news from around the association. I'm Casey, alongside here with my friend Roman. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Excellent night.
Yes, sir. Love to hear it. But before we get into that, I just want to talk about something real quick. Just want to address the wildfires going on in Los Angeles and just say that our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody that's been affected or involved. Just basically just like the whole Los Angeles city and community. We're here for you, and would also like to shout out all the firefighters down there being heroes. But yeah, so thank you, firefighters, and LA, be strong.
Yeah, so we're here for you.
Let's get into it. Warriors had a game tonight playing the Detroit Pistons on the road. I believe it's first game on the road trip.
Yep.
Narrowly won 107 to 104. Quite the exciting game amongst, you know, with a bunch of injuries. We had Jonathan Kuminga out. Gary Payton II was out. Brandon Podziemski's out. Moses Moody out. Wiggins out. Yet they managed to pull it off. Tell me, Roman, what'd you see out there?
I mean, the first quarter, second quarter, I felt like the defense just kind of really just kept them in the game and ahead. They were just kind of controlling the game a lot. Draymond playing great. But yeah, that was, I think, a really good tone setter for the rest of the game, was just them, I mean, just being true to each other on the court, communicating and taking on assignments, and yeah, just being effective on the defensive end. It was nice to see. Not a lot of just easy shots being let in, knocking passes out of the lane, just being aggressive and engaged. That was nice to see at the start. And yeah, Draymond just playing excellent ball.
Absolutely. Great point with the shouting out Draymond Green's performance. I thought he was pretty masterful in his homecoming game in Detroit. I believe he's from like the Saginaw area.
Yeah, I think so.
Or that sounds right. Flint, Michigan. But anyways, yeah, Draymond Green had a masterful game, just being very smart with like help defense and knowing when to double. Just kind of making life hard for the Pistons early on. And offense for the Warriors was kind of hard to come by, at least in the first half. Like, they started the game 0 for 6 from 3. But they got some good looks at the rim. I thought TJD had a great game, like rim running. And not, you know, it didn't all go in, but like he was making the right cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, like, you know, doing all the right things. Pistons, that's a team that's up and coming. Like, they're not the Pistons of yesteryear. There's still a lot of room for improvement for sure, but you're starting to see them like fit the pieces together. Cade Cunningham is a future star in the league. Like, that guy's good.
Oh yeah. No, the Pistons were coming into this game on a five game win streak, I think.
Yep.
And yeah, playing at home against a Warriors team that has been dealing with a lot of injuries and hasn't been playing the best ball all season. I'll be honest. I was a little surprised by the outcome the end of it, even as close as it got by the end. Yeah, the Pistons are a very, very good, aggressive, young team. And yeah, I mean, they played really well. They came back and made it a close game. But yeah, they still have growing pains to kind of get through. But Cade Cunningham, yeah, he has developed into quite a player.
Yeah, and you pair him with a guy like Jalen Duren, who is just a big body who can, you know, bump and bruise with the best of them. And Beasley, who was hitting some big shots for them. And then Osar Thompson, also another great up-and-coming player. That's going to be a team to put on your radar for the next upcoming years. Like, it's going to be interesting to see how they blossom in the league and coming to their own in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, because they're just kind of waiting for what Jaden Ivey to get back from injury.
Right. And that that's a huge loss for them.
Yeah, that'll make them even more interesting to watch against a already kind of fragile Eastern Conference, but
exactly. It's like these conferences the opposite way that the Western Conference is. It's like it feels like anyone can go on like a good run and get themselves into the playoff picture.
Mm-hmm.
In the West, it's like a team can go on like a 3-game, 4-game losing streak and play themselves out of the playoff picture. Like we just saw.
Oh yeah.
With the Warriors as of late, like, they were a top 3 team to start off the season, and now we are fighting in the play-in bracket, trying to get out of it. Certainly. This win tonight helps their half of the game. Detroit starts figuring it out. They narrow the gap a little bit. Dennis Schroeder is starting to really figure his rollout with the Warriors, but he looks a lot more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See him look like the Dennis Schroeder that we're used to seeing. Santos, another guy, just kind of had a really great game tonight. Kind of took, like the pods role and like drawing charges, just kind of being everywhere on the floor, diving for his balls, contributing offensively as well. He had 3-4-3 from three.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Santos, I mean, I kind of hate the saying now because I hear it so much in the NBA, but calling guys like an Energizer Bunny, I think I heard Kalena on the broadcast call Guy Santos an Energizer Bunny, but like, it's not an incorrect way to describe his impact, honestly, because yeah, I mean, right. Just looking, like just watching the game, you could see he was just doing a lot of everything as you were kind of describing. And yeah, shooting the ball effectively. I mean, in a game where the Warriors were down a lot of guys, they needed someone else to kind of contribute there, especially with Steph having a very inefficient game, a very un-Steph-like game.
Right.
They kind of needed that help. I was a little, and still am very surprised, I guess, that Kyle Anderson is only seeing these like back end minutes with all the injuries at the wing position.
It's interesting.
They're still controlling his minutes in such a restrictive way, which like it must be about the Warriors trying to play with a little bit more like high pace.
Oh yeah.
Especially with the emphasis with, I mean, like Wiggins and Kuminga being like some of these, I don't want to say primary, but like big time scorers and ball handlers team. Like it's kind of hard to fit Kyle into those systems sometimes. And especially with, you know, Steph on ball a lot, Draymond on ball a lot, and then Schroeder as your backup point guard now, who's going to be, you know, on ball a lot. You don't need to rely on him so much now, but I feel like he can still bring a lot to this team, probably in different matchups. And I understand with how quick and young this Pistons team is that you don't want to have a guy whose nickname is Slow-Mo on the court sometimes. And I mean, that can always be dependent because maybe a guy like that can kind of help slow down that type of team on the defensive end, which I feel like I've seen that from Kyle this year also.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. I feel like it's an issue with the Warriors up and down. I feel like there's more minutes to be had for so many of these guys, but
I totally agree. And I feel like this is a conversation that we've had with many a different players, you know, insert name there, insert name here.
Yeah.
But right now it's Kyle Anderson. I thought in the 9 minutes I did see him on the floor, he was effective. Like he's not going to lose you a game. Like I think he's just, like he's a solid basketball player. He's been around the league for a minute. He's been on winning teams. He's been in the playoffs multiple times. But yeah, just like you were saying, though, like it could just be like matchup dependent. So that maybe that's why we're not seeing him as of late. And also, they just got so many guys on the roster. Like when healthy, it's like, I don't know, so many minutes to go around, not enough minutes in a game.
Yeah.
But with injuries, you know, we've seen a little bit of Kyle Anderson. We saw Pat Spencer get some run early, I believe like in the second quarter, he got some playing time. But yeah, I mean, usually we're kind of used to see, like if Steph Curry has a night like he did tonight, we usually just chalk that up as a loss, like automatically. But tonight was a different night, even though the fourth quarter got pretty dicey. They ran with like an all vet lineup for a little bit with Curry, Schroeder, Heald, Green, and Looney. And that lineup, I don't want to say gave up the game, but they misfired a bit on offense, and Detroit was just red hot. They were on a crazy run. Cade Cunningham was on fire, and they cut the lead down to like, oh, they ended up going on like a 22-6 Pistons run.
Yeah, I'm not sure what adjustments I even would have tried to make in that situation. Because, yeah, for how, as you described, just red hot, like the Pistons were just, they were just on it. And I don't really know if the Warriors really had a lineup adjustment that they could have made to change anything there, especially with, if you're not going to be hitting your shots also, then that's just going to screw you over also. So,
totally.
Yeah, that's just them surviving. And luckily they had a bit of the cushion with the lead that they at least went into the second half with.
Exactly. Like they made it got interesting, and then did just enough to squeak out the win. I thought they ran Steve Kerr ran a masterful plan to get Curry fouled to shoot free throws. I believe it went, you know, like Draymond inbounded or ball went to Draymond. They tried to go to Draymond, ball went to Schroeder. Schroeder passed it to Heald. Heald passed it to Buddy. Or no, sorry. Heald passed it to Curry. Curry got fouled.
Yeah.
You know, little things like that. But then when Schroeder fouled Cade Cunningham at like, you know, with seconds ticking off the clock to, I think they're down. Like, I forget how much exactly they're down by, but they're down, right? And Cade makes the first one, makes it a 3-point game intentionally, misses the second one. Gets the rebound, but the refs initially call that the ball didn't touch the rim. Goes into replay to review. Ball did touch the rim. So it's Detroit's ball. So Detroit gets an extra timeout and a chance to run a play for a 3-pointer to send the game into overtime. And when, I don't know, when they started reviewing the free throw, I was like, oh boy, here we go again. Like,
yeah,
this is how it goes down. Like,
yeah, just seeing the weird, confusing ref whistle that just bogs down the time, creates an awkward opportunity for the team to get one last possession to just dagger the Warriors. Like, I feel like we've seen that quite a few times. And yeah, this was just another situation we had to live through. And they had a wide open three at the end, too.
That was a good look.
Tie it. That looked really good. I thought it was going to, I didn't think it was going in. I didn't want it to go in, but when it bounced off the rim the way it did, I was like, oh, that looked a little bit better on release. But
yeah, for sure. That was a good look. And luckily, Malik Beasley missed the shot. Warriors escaped Detroit with the win. And yeah, it was a fun game. That was a fun game for Thursday early evening.
A little 4 p.m. start.
Yeah. A lot of names I'd like to shout out, because I feel like it was an all-around group effort to get this win. But for you, Roman, do you have a shameless shout out or a player of the game that you'd like to single out right now?
Oh, man. You know, I gotta give it to Guy Santos. He's just been a guy that's been at the end of this Warriors roster for so long, it feels like, and He's only gotten sporadic minutes every now and again, nothing very serious. This is one of maybe two or three games that I've seen of him in a regular season game where he's playing serious minutes, and then he's contributing the way he did. The worry with that, of course, given Steve Kerr is the coach, is he goes, I can use this guy in a now 14-man rotation. I'm going to create the longest rotation possible when all my guys are healthy. And I don't know, I'll give him the 12 minutes that Moody's been getting. And
yeah,
I don't
he
know.
He becomes Lindy Waters from earlier this season.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a whole other.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. He's been a interesting watch, but yeah, Gui Santos, like he did so much for the Warriors tonight, and I have to appreciate a guy like that who's just ready to play, ready to jump in and contribute for that many minutes also. And
yeah 26 minutes, four of six from the field, got some rebounds, few assists, some steals, and like you said earlier, he was kind of the Energizer Bunny coming into the game and had his fingerprints all over the game. A great game from Gui Santos, and they probably don't win it without him.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, just having that kind of contribution with scoring alone is necessary. But yeah, who's your guy? Who's your shout out?
Ooh, that's a good one. Gui Santos, definitely player of the game. I'd like to shout out give me TJD. TJD had, you know, 10 rebounds. How many points does he say he got? All right. But he was 7 from 9 from the field.
He had 14.
14 points, 10 rebounds against a large Detroit Pistons team. I also thought Kevon Looney, that was probably going to be my other answer, was Kevon Looney.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was huge on the board, especially late in the game. But also, I do want to shout out Draymond Green just for, because like his defense was just superb. Like he had a Draymond Green masterclass type of game. And I'm sure coming home getting that win means a lot for him. So I'd like to give a shout out to Draymond as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, Gui Santos, have a night, man.
Have a night. Yeah, I'm glad the Warriors and Steve Kerr are able to find these guys and make them work for a game or two just to get wins. But I would love to see a fully healthy roster again. That would bring me so much joy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
They pretty much have a whole starting five of just injuries.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, this win tonight has the Warriors in the 9 seed right now, just above the Spurs. 19 and 18, the Warriors, just above 500.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that they're out of the 10th spot, I guess, you know, like they're.
Yeah,
but
something to take
over 500. Like I think those last two losses against Sacramento and Miami, those really stunk, especially in a month where it's like our last episode, we're saying how the month of January is kind of like a winnable month for the most part. Like there's a lot of games that on paper should be a win. And is it kind of a crucial month too, because you're about to go into the All-Star break in February, and then things are getting way more serious after that. But, Jonathan Kuminga goes down with an ankle injury, won't be reevaluated for some weeks now. Some good news about Kuminga was on the broadcast. They're saying that he is off crutches and he's now in a walking boot. So,
okay,
that's good. Yeah. And he's traveling with the team, I suppose. So that's cool. He can, you know,
stay
with the team and go up, you know, get elevation and not worry about swelling or anything. But, Kuminga getting out, though, I think that changes a lot of things. And with tonight's laundry list of injuries, like we saw a very close game against an also shorthanded Pistons team because missing Jaden Ivey, I think that probably changes things for Detroit as well. But Hey, a win is a win.
Yeah, a win is a win, especially on this road trip that the Warriors are about to go on, because they have the Pacers next, and then the Raptors, and then the Timberwolves all on this little road stint. And, you know, those are good teams.
Yeah,
those are teams, especially with how beat up the Warriors are right now. Like, those are not going to be.
No,
these are all going to be absolute just dogfights.
Absolutely. And
I think I'm most excited for the Raptors matchup, mostly because I feel like the Timberwolves are just going to demolish the Warriors.
That's fair. Last I checked too, the Raptors were playing the Cavaliers and they had a pretty healthy lead on them. And the Pacers, I think, have won their last four games. So they're going to come into this Warriors game hot.
Yeah. Yeah, the Warriors are going to be walking through a bit of a gauntlet. And then, yeah, just looking through, they don't play another home game until the 18th. They're back against the Wizards. And then on the 20th, they play the Celtics at home. So that should be a good pair of home games there, at least for ratings.
Totally. Hopefully, you know, hopefully the fans can fill up Chase Center and give them some life, because they're going to need that energy, because Boston, I mean, that's top dog in the East. Them in Cleveland, you know, like, it's not, that's no easy game, even though they got the win on the road earlier in the season, but that seems like a whole different season now, whole different team. And then the Wizards, I mean, an NBA team is an NBA team. The Wizards aren't a good team, but they have good players. So,
yeah, I can't wait to see how Poole plays there. And I know it's always going to be a what if.
Yeah, totally.
Watching him in Chase Center. So I'm going to be rooting for Poole. I also have a Kyle Kuzma jersey.
Oh, there you go.
In the closet. So I'm always going to be rooting for him. Yeah, so big night for my jerseys for players who aren't on their drafted teams. But yeah, that should be a fun game at the very least.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. We're going to shift gears a little bit into this this new segment I'd like to call The Rumor Mill. And with this new feature, I mean, it's probably not a new feature, but I've just discovered it, so it's new to me.
Yeah.
So with this new feature from StreamYard, I could, you know, here we go. The ticker. Official.
So,
if you're listening on the audio version, I'm sorry. This is not exciting.
It means nothing to you.
But for those watching the video version, feast your eyes.
Yeah. So welcome first, to the peak of YouTube content.
We've made it. So the first rumor here is a. Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob seen having an animated conversation following their loss against the Kings, source Monty Poole, on the Dubs Talk podcast. That's pretty interesting, but also it's like, you know, I'm sure they're both upset. They're all competitors, even like the front office guys. Like, Joe Lacob wants to win. Mike Dunleavy wants to win. He wants, I'm sure he wants to prove that he is, you know, the guy for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of in like a tough spot right now, especially losing against a state rival like Sacramento in the fashion they lost, where I think they got the break speed off of them.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. Yeah, I mean, that was going to be something I was about to bring up, is at this point, given the game that we just watched, where are you in the whole what should we trade for hypothetical?
I don't know. Because in the second rumor we have is that the Warriors don't have interest in trading for Jimmy Butler. They don't want to give him a contract extension or give up on Jonathan Kuminga. So I feel like Butler was like the main guy that I would want them to trade for. Of course, I've mentioned Cam Johnson in the past, but now with the recent reports that Sacramento and the Thunder are both in the mix for him, I feel like the Warriors are kind of, their chances to get him have gone way lower, especially with the Thunder's plethora of draft capital and young talent. They can just throw at any team to get anyone they want. So I feel like I don't know. It's like if they trade for Jimmy Butler, I keep hearing this on the radio. But like if they trade for Jimmy Butler, would they be a trade away from being a trade away? Or is that like the trade? Because like if it cost them Kuminga, Wiggins, and somebody else, some like, you know, future draft capital, and they don't make like, it's not, I don't even think it's about like making the finals, but like just making a playoff run.
Like, yeah. I mean, just looking more competitive, right? Because
exactly.
There's been more than enough games where the Warriors are, to use your phrase, getting the brakes beat off them. Like it's not been pretty for a lot of these games. And
no, it hasn't.
It's been a lot of hard watches, and knowing what kind of competitor, what kind of basketball player Jim Butler is, I think it's a trade that they should make. Because Steph Curry's still on the roster. You want to maximize him. You want to get him another star, another elite talent in some capacity. Jimmy Butler is that.
I
love Andrew Wiggins. I love Kuminga. They've both have been playing very well this season. Jimmy Butler's a different class.
Yeah, I agree. We've seen Jimmy Butler take, like, I don't want to say a short-handed Miami team, but it wasn't a team full of stars, and he kind of like
it was a surprise
on my back, and we're going to the finals.
Yeah, no, it was a surprise, that whole journey through the bubble with Jimmy, just
bubble, and more recently when they played the Nuggets too. I forget what year that was.
Oh yeah,
23.
God, shoot.
Or 20? I don't know. Recently.
Who just won? It is 23.
Austin just won.
It was 23.
But that playoff series too, it was kind of like a repeat performance from Jimmy Butler from the bubble. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this time I could do it for real, like with fans and like, you know, a regular season. And he did it. And like, yeah, like we know what kind of player Jimmy Butler is. And I think there's issues around his personality, or you know, he's had his run-ins with like GMs and front offices, but like I don't think he's, aside from playing for Miami, I don't think he's played for or alongside like basketball royalty such as like Steph Curry and Draymond Green, like two Hall of Famers. Like in Minnesota, he was kind of had to be like the veteran player. And that team wasn't ready to win yet. Like Andrew Wiggins was super young in his career. Karl Anthony Towns was super young in his career.
Yeah.
They were, you know, they weren't ready to win yet. Philadelphia, I don't really remember much of.
Well, I mean, that was just a very stacked roster at the time.
That was a very stacked roster.
They were a really well put together team. And I think that is one of my personal just nightmares that I have to remind myself of at times, of like what that team could have meant to the NBA and to the East. Like they looked so put together and so well built, and then a bounced in shot from Kawhi took it all away from them.
What ifs ever.
Oh, I loved that roster. That was such a disappointment to see what happened to that team and where they all are at now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Jimmy was an elite player for that team. He was hyper effective. And I mean, before that bouncing shot, Jimmy made a very tough contested lay-in shot to tie the game. And it ended up not meaning anything because of a different crazy bouncing shot. But yeah,
he's been a winner.
Yeah,
at some level, you know, he's brought winning basketball to every team he's played for. He's also told the Memphis Grizzlies and some other NBA teams that are unnamed, but he's told them that there is no interest of him joining up with them. Memphis caught me by surprise because I remember when they played the Warriors recently, they rested a bunch of players like Desmond Bane and like, you know, like key rotational players. I'm like, okay, that's weird. Because, like, usually when teams do that, it's like, all right, like, those guys are packing their bags right now and getting ready to get on a plane to go somewhere. But, so, yeah, I guess there's no interest from Butler and his camp on going to the Grizzlies, which kind of narrows it down a little bit. Of course, Golden State has been mentioned a ton with Jimmy Butler. We see the Suns in the mix as well. Yeah, I mean, if the Warriors do get a deal done for Butler, I wouldn't be mad about it at all, because, like we've just said, like, he's, we know what kind of player he is. He's, he brings winning basketball with him. And I think he just lines up with Steph's timeline more than, I hate to say it, but like Jonathan Kuminga. Like, Jonathan Kuminga is a phenomenal player right now, but if they're all, if they're serious about maximizing Steph's prime, which I think they should be, because the Warriors don't become the most valuable franchise in the NBA without Steph Curry, really try to make. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, we keep seeing the whole trades are hard thing.
Yeah, you know, it's every trade deadline, it's every off season. The Warriors are a big name in the trade market, actively looking. They're shopping this guy. They don't want to trade this guy. The name is always out there in the wind, but it's rare that we see anything come out of it. And I mean, it's been understandable in the past, but seeing where the Warriors have been in the past couple of years, I feel like they've had plenty of opportunities to make a major move. And it's just been, I don't know if it's playing it safe or just saying words and not actually trying.
Totally. It's kind of hard to tell at this point. Like, at first I'd want to say, oh, they're just playing it safe. But now at this point where it's like, this team is teetering above 500 and you're seeing Steph become visually frustrated, like during losses, and like, it's like, it's only a matter of time till Steph wants out. Like, who's to stop him from saying, I don't want to spend my last years of high level basketball just trying to make the playoffs. Like, he has every right to want out, but I think we can totally avoid this happening if, like you're saying, like, you know, you make a trade for a guy like Jimmy Butler, or make a trade for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Another interesting rumor I saw was that on the Lakers side of things is that the Lakers could be swayed to move Rui Hachimura for a star player. So in the past, that's been a guy that they're, you know, nope, not going to trade him. But for the right name, sure. I think that's interesting because I feel like anyone in the NBA business, like, anyone is movable.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, these players are truly just assets to the organization for them to move around. I am a little bit surprised that Rui's name has been brought up like this and that there's a willingness there. I mean, I guess for the Lakers trying to make a serious trade, he kind of has to be made available. And that's just a testament to the quality of play and his skill for the Lakers. But yeah, getting into a trade of what the Lakers could trade for, what they should trade for,
as far as like a player that they would be trading for, I don't know. Don't have any.
I mean, I understand the whole need for a big still.
Yeah, totally.
But
like, we're talking with Austin in the past, like Valanciunas is definitely, that's a guy that I think could help them out, but it all depends on what the Wizards asking price is, I'm sure.
Yeah, and last time we talked about Kyle Kuzma, and I was like, I don't know if you really want him. I personally would love to see Jordan Poole on the Lakers, but that's cool. Never going to happen.
No, I like what they did with getting Dorian Finney-Smith and Shake Milton, but I think Dorian Finney-Smith, though, that is I was watching their game against the Mavericks, and although they lost, he was hitting some big shots for them in the fourth quarter to try to mount a comeback.
Yeah.
So that was a good move. Did they have another move up their sleeves? I don't know. It seems like they're kind of in the same boat as the Warriors. It's like oh, they're trade away from making something happen. And like,
yeah, I feel like the Lakers are going to make another trade. I don't know if it's going to be a big trade, but I feel confident in them actually pulling the trigger on something. It might not be what fans are expecting or want, but I feel like they're going to get something done just to be like, we're doing something. We're trading. We're trying to make changes.
As far as the Warriors go, I feel like they need to make a big trade. I think like,
oh yeah.
Like Schroeder, I don't want to say that was a small trade because I think Schroeder is probably an undervalued player around the NBA.
Yes. But
that was a step absolutely in the right direction.
Yeah. But, oh yeah. I mean, it was a very necessary trade. Just getting another point guard as someone who can handle the ball. That was, if they didn't do that, they were going to be in a much worse situation than they're in now.
Oh, exactly.
It was 100% necessary to do, but to build on that, getting them back to where they were, even with all the injuries now, they need to take another step up. And we'll Jimmy Butler, please just do it. Why not?
Yeah.
Make something happen.
And maybe we're seeing all these reports that they're not interested. Maybe they want to see who else is going to become available closer to the trade deadline. They don't want to pull the trigger on a trade just yet because they don't know who else is available. So that kind of makes sense, I guess. But I like Jimmy Butler. I've always liked Jimmy Butler. And I would welcome Jimmy Butler. But let's move on to some just NBA news. I got this ticker going again. So due to the Los Angeles wildfires, the Lakers and Hornets game will be postponed. This tragic event has affected, you know, it's just a bigger than basketball kind of thing. Like, we got Kawhi Leonard stepping away from the Clippers to help with some family that have been affected. I heard JJ Redick's house was affected by the fires, and Steve Kerr lost his childhood home as well.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's just all around just really tough situation. Cavaliers reclaimed the throne as the league's best team after a 122-129 win against Oklahoma City. Were you able to catch any of that game, Roman?
No, I was not able to. Yeah.
I caught a little bit of it. I caught the end, but those teams, they're fun to watch. OKC's definitely missing Chet Holmgren, I feel like. Because that Cavaliers team, they're just that 1-2 punch with Jarrett Allen and Evan Mobley is pretty nasty.
Oh yeah.
When you got your center making like, you know, being able to dish to your power forward, I don't know, like who's also very tall.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice. And 76ers star rookie, I'm gonna call him a star because he was having a great year, but star rookie Jerry McCain, they missed the remainder of the season due to a knee injury. Quite a bummer because I feel like if he plays the whole year, I think he was probably a shoe-in to win rookie of the year, but injuries are part of the game, unfortunately, and he will be missed. Especially, he was already helping out with the Sixers a lot in his rookie season. So,
yeah,
that's a tough loss for the Sixers. And I feel like that opens up the rookie of the year race.
Yeah, who else gets in? Who else has been high in the standings? Like Alexander Sarr?
Jalen Wells has been climbing up the ladder. Let's see. We've seen Stephon Castle go up and down.
Yeah.
I think when he plays more, I feel like you see how he's, you know, a good basketball player. But yeah, I like Stephon Castle a lot. I think that was a great pick from the Spurs. Zach Edey, I see, is in there.
Oh, and Yves Missy. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we see Dalton connect, make some moves, get up there a little bit more. And how about I mean, his name's pretty far down there, but Donovan Klingon. That's a guy I think is underrated.
Yeah. I'm very excited for his future with the Trailblazers. I just wish they had a better roster around him.
Yeah, they might be in the Cooper Flagg race.
Yeah, probably. Which, hey, might not be a bad thing.
Might not be a bad thing at all. Might be a good thing.
Yeah. Also, I saw that the Bucks were going to keep Chris Middleton coming off the bench.
I did see that.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, totally. Especially because like that was a guy who was pretty instrumental in their finals run not too long ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It doesn't seem like it was that far away, 4 years, and everything's changed. Injuries set him back, and yeah, now he's coming off the bench. But they've pulled their season together from, you know, we were talking about them so long ago. And dreams.
We were trying to force Giannis out.
But, you know, the day after we were talking about that on the pod, there was news coming out that there was maybe him wanting to get out. So we were just keeping an eye on things.
Right?
But, yeah, I mean, the Bucks are, what, the 5 seed right now, 19-16. And
yep. They won the NBA Cup.
Yeah. They've been putting...
Turned their season around.
Yeah, they've been putting a better foot forward for sure. Just something to keep an eye on, as always. Bucks watch.
Always on Bucks watch.
Yeah.
Let's look ahead to tomorrow's game. The Warriors are going to take on the Indiana Pacers. We talked about this a little bit earlier on in the episode, but the Indiana Pacers are coming in pretty hot, just like the Pistons were tonight, winning their last 4 games. This is a team that has historically given the Warriors issues. I don't know what it is, but the Pacers, I believe, are the only team in the NBA to be undefeated at Chase Center.
Whoa. But
tomorrow's game is not at Chase Center.
There you go. So, we have a chance at least.
So fire up all those bets.
I
gambling advice.
Yeah. I feel like every time I watch the Warriors Pacers, there's always some Miles Turner just heater for a quarter or two where it's just like, oh, why don't the Warriors trade for him? And I think this might be the game where that starts up again this season. He's like, well, the Warriors should get a big like that who can shoot and space out the floor.
Yeah, they had one, didn't they, with James Wiseman?
That was a plan.
That was
Who actually, you know, he was on the Pacers until he tore his ACL or did he tear his Achilles?
Achilles.
God,
I know. Awful. It's so sad. Like, I'm rooting for the kid. I want him to have like a successful career.
At this point, yeah, I hope he can make a comeback and play and, you know, leave his imprint somewhere on a team.
Yeah,
in the game.
I agree. And I feel like the Pacers would be a good fit for him because you got, Miles Turner right there. I think he's one of the best bigs in the league.
Let's see. Yeah, they just beat the Nets on... Oh, no, they beat the Bulls yesterday and the Nets on Monday. They beat the Suns and then they beat the Heat. Wow. Okay.
And they beat the Celtics not too long ago also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at the end of December. Yeah, 123-114. Being the Celtics, close game against the Bucks. I mean, yeah, they're scoring a lot of points, which...
That's concerning because the Warriors tonight did not score a lot of points. They scored 107 points.
Yeah, this game is going to be a real test of how good this Warriors defense can be. And there's a lot of options that the Pacers have that the Warriors are going to have to account for. Like, as we said, Miles Turner, Tyrese Haliburton can score.
Andrew Nembhard's the guy.
Yeah, Nembhard, Benedict Mathurin.
Pascal Siakam's there.
Yeah, Siakam. God, how did I forget Siakam?
I kind of forgot he was... He's so steady that you kind of just forget that he's there. But I'm just looking at the roster right now. And Pascal Siakam, Finals MVP. I believe, was he Finals MVP that year?
I can't remember. I would assume it's Kawhi, but that I don't know actually.
I forget. I mean, I kind of erased that Finals from my memory, but I know he had a great series. Pascal Siakam.
It was Kawhi who won Finals MVP.
Yeah, he's. So.
Yeah. No, the Warriors are just going to have to play really, really solid defense against this team. Also, they have the Pacers have Thomas Bryant. Also, Pacers have a big team.
That's a big team. Obi Toppin, high flyer. TJ McConnell is kind of he's a pest. He can bother you.
Interesting.
So yeah, it should be an interesting game. Absolutely. Don't have any final score projections. I think it's going to, like you were saying earlier, like it's going to be a dogfight.
Yeah. I'd assume if anything, it will end up being a high scoring game. Knowing the Warriors when they need to play defense, it doesn't happen. And yeah, I don't know.
Steph Curry is going to have a bounce back game after his performance tonight. I'm sure he's going to make his presence felt in Indiana, and maybe we see another superhero performance from our superhero in the Bay, Stephen Curry.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're going to need it tomorrow, 4 p.m. Sure, Pacific Standard Time.
Be there or be square. But yeah. Is there anything else we want to talk about today? Or?
Yeah, man, the Blazers suck.
Are they playing right now? Let's see what games are live right now. Oh, we got the Rockets and the Grizzlies in a very close one, 117 to 114 with a minute left to go.
Oh, that's good.
That is good. The Houston Rockets,
Hawks, man. Hawks and Suns are tied. Yeah, the Blazers, they did lose to the Mavericks today.
That was a close one. They lost by 6, 117 to 111.
Yeah, Mavericks just had a massive fourth quarter. Wow, that's where the Blazers lost, fourth quarter. Cool.
That it's crazy because they're without Kyrie and Luka, and they're still stringing together wins, which is, like, I think this is a crucial stretch of the season. It's just because, like, you know, we're saying, like, it's right before the All-Star break, right after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, these games matter, and these losses and the wins, they stack up. So, for them to be able to score wins without their two best players, like, that's pretty huge.
Well, Jaden Hardy is, he's just a guy who gets to have a few more minutes now. He played almost 30 minutes tonight and scored 25. Derek Lively put up 21, PJ Washington 23. Klay Thompson, though, 22 minutes, 3 points.
Oh, I hate to see it.
Yeah.
You see a lot of 20s, though. Like, if you got three guys in the 20s and then you got a few other guys in double figures, that's a good night.
Yeah. Quentin Grimes, I'm glad he's playing.
Seems like he's found himself a role with the Mavericks. Like Grimes and Hardy, when I was watching their game against the Lakers, those guys were pretty instrumental for them. I remember Grimes hit like a dagger three in the fourth, and Hardy was just kind of everywhere. Like,
oh yeah, that guy's
he's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the Blazers are, they're just figuring everything out.
Exactly.
Their three young guards scored over 20 or over tonight. So there was that. Klingon had 11 points, 11 rebounds. Great.
He's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm excited for the future of the Blazers. But yeah, they just need to keep developing guys.
Yeah, pretty much.
Keep drafting
their cards right.
The best available, but yeah, no, it's been a pretty average, I'd say, NBA week. We had some marquee matchups and a couple buzzer beater wins and some heartbreaking losses.
That Trae Young buzzer beater, pretty exciting stuff. Gotta love that.
Yeah, just some good classic basketball that we got to enjoy this week. That's been nice.
It has been nice.
And I hope this week ends with the Warriors winning tomorrow in Indiana. I believe in them. Let's get two games over 500.
Let's get it.
Make it happen.
Games. Let's make it happen. All right. I think that's going to wrap it up.